Coming to you from the mountains and the plains, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance.
And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire.
And this is Joe Altman.
And we're a little bit late today because we were having a meeting, editorial meeting, getting the ducks in a row. We're not going to be able to discuss everything today. We're probably going to have to come back for a part two tomorrow. But we're going to start with Joe presenting his theory after all of these weeks of research, people he's been talking to who work within government and just outside of government, the theories he has for how it was stolen. On this podcast, we've talked a lot about the different things we've seen, counting ballots multiple times, right? Not checking signatures, the machine aspect of it. Yesterday, we talked about the paper aspect of it. This is, we're going to talk about Joe putting together his theory, laying out his theory. And it's very important that we call it a theory because we're still putting all the pieces together. It's our hypothesis. For anyone interested in suing us for defamation, it is a hypothesis that we openly welcome people presenting evidence proving us wrong. It is still a hypothesis. I'll say it again, hypothesis.
So, and I want to address something. First of all, I want to say this to everyone. Happy New Year. Like, Happy New Year, right? May God bless you and your family, and may we just, I mean, may just good prevail in this coming year. So, I think it's going to be an exciting year, 2021. I think it's going to be a year of revelation. I think there's going to be a lot of really great things that happen to not only us as a country, but in other countries as well, as I think evil gets rooted out. And so I just want to say Happy New Year, right? And that, you know, as I pray for my country, I pray for each one of you. And I do think that God is at the wheel 100% in what we do. So Max, I want to say this because Max constantly draws me back, right? So, and some people don't like that. Some people don't like the fact that Max, you know, tries to temper my fearlessness with just the ability to just recognize that, hey, Joe, we don't want to get in trouble here. We don't want to get taken down. He doesn't do that because of a hate for me. We've known each other a long time. We've been friends for a long time. And there's not anything that I wouldn't do for Max. I wouldn't do for his family. But he knows my propensity to just have courage and just speak what I feel with conviction. But he also recognizes that we're dealing with weaponized media. We're dealing with weaponized technology. And if we get taken out of the game or taken, our voice gets silenced, then we don't have an opportunity to talk to you. So we spent the last hour yelling at each other. Actually, I was pretty upset. And the reason being is because I wanted to come out here just full of, with conviction and show you the math behind what I've been able to uncover. And Max comes and says, hey, listen, Max and Josh, to their benefit, they both teamed up on me. It was not comfortable for me. But the reality of it is that I have to have that because I step out into the fight. And because I'm deep into that fight, it's necessary for them to kind of temper me, right? And so we come out and we say, listen, it's a theory. But as we get further down the line, we can start to look at, you know, the left has been very good, especially the technology companies. They're very good at creating diagrams and creating engineering, right? And engineering a solution that says, okay, where can we find the biggest hole? Where can we find the biggest opportunity? And so as we talk through this today, I'm going to tell you, I have a lot more information than what I've been able to put out there and what I'm going to put out with you. But it's going to start to, I don't have time not to put it out there. I've got to put this out there knowing who's going to be listening to so that they can go saying, oh, I'm going to do the research over here. I'm going to look over here. And there's people in the public that have done an amazing amount of good for us, Max, that have actually sent us things. And yes. I want to give people the opportunity to help seed all the things that we're talking about today, knowing that each one of the election systems is diagrammed or engineered a different way in each state. Each one uses different types of systems in order to get across the finish line. And so as I walk through this process with you, I want you to be patient with the information you're getting. And then as Max and Josh have been patient with me, because for me, it's all about math. And so I'm looking at the where the gaps are that allow for them to get that information and why in certain states that information cannot validate because they don't have access to that information. So it's a negative and a positive. I look for the positive information that's there. I look for the negative information that's been removed. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Antrim County report, but we're also going to say that in the Antrim County report, the Secretary of State has disputed those findings, even though the Secretary of State's office does not have a red team and does not have people inside of their organization that can that have, I think, the same level of abilities as those people that did that report.
Well, let's just get this out of the way right now. Pretty much everything we say, there's going to be a fact checker somewhere who disputes it. So preemptively, we are adding this disclaimer because this is what they force us to add anyway if we want the fact check to be taken down. The things we are about to discuss have been disputed. So we're just going to add that disclaimer right from the get-go so I don't have to go ahead and add it at the end. It's interesting how the fact-checking works. We're going to get into it, but I want to put, Ms. Producer, real quick, put up my screen. I put this on our Facebook page. I found this really comical. Donald Trump tweeted out, Senator Josh Hawley slams Walmart tweet calling him a sore loser. America is proud of Josh and the many others who are joining him. The USA cannot have fraudulent elections. And Twitter actually put the disclaimer, this claim about election fraud is disputed. So Donald Trump says we cannot have fraudulent elections. And Twitter responded with a fact check, not entirely true. I thought that was very interesting of their algorithm accidentally getting caught to suggest that, yes, we can have fraudulent elections. So we're just going to, right off the bat, we're going to say that the things we're about to discuss are disputed. Check your local fact checker for what you should be thinking. Don't you dare think for yourself. Yeah.
It's a dangerous time we live in. I mean, everyone that's listening, it's a dangerous time we live in. I mean, we live in a dangerous time because where else do we go? It's the last free country on earth. And by the way, I could dispute parts of that too. I mean, fact checkers might be able to say that we're not the last free place on earth. I mean, they might say that, you know, we're not free at all. I would say that we live a life of plantation slaves. You know, the government gets to do what they want with our, frankly, our profits, right? Because we live, and so we pay all of our bills, and then profits are what we can actually put into a bank account. Well, the federal government comes in and says, I'm going to take 30% of what you made, and that's your profit. That's the money that you could put in a bank account and do things with. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need to pay taxes, but what I'm saying is that it's gotten to the point now where we pay taxes on the dollar at 60, 70, 80%, depending on how you do the math, with property tax and sales tax and everything else. And so, you know, where else will we go? If we don't protect what we have in the United States and we don't have fair and free elections and we have people that are lying to us telling them it is fair and free, where do we go? Right. So I just want you to think about that as we go through this information.
So as we go through this, we are going to mention anonymous sources. And I hate when people mention anonymous sources, but there are people who have sent Joe things that truly, if we reveal all of the information about who they are, where it came from, it would be very easy to find out their identity and then bad things would legitimately happen to them. So a day might come where we'll be able to talk about who these people are who have sent us things. But for today, as much as we hate the term, we're going to have to borrow it from the Washington Post, New York Times, and talk about anonymous sources. But just rest assured that when I use it, I mean that the source exists. When Joe uses it, he means that the source does exist. There's no funny business here. We just don't want them to face retribution, have to go into hiding, all that. So just a forewarning, when we talk about sources, some of them might have to remain anonymous. So, Joe, why don't we? Do you want to start with the flowchart?
Yeah. So let's start with the flowchart. Okay. So, as I share this information with you, I want you to understand something, right? I hope everyone can see it. Maybe, I don't know if we can make it any bigger, Max. Is there any way to make it a little bigger?
I can make it bigger, but it's going to be
okay. So we might have to move around a little bit and move this around a little bit. Yeah. So we're going to start where you see the envelope, right? Max, I don't know if you could put your little thing over the envelope, right? Which is the basically...
It strangely looks like a Dominion Voting Systems logo.
Yes, strangely.
But not talking about Dominion Voting Systems. Don't sue me, bro. Go ahead. Oh, Joe's coughing. It's not dead air. Joe's just coughing. Oh, we got more coughs.
One more. Sorry about that. All right. So that ballot is them receiving it, right? So these are absentee ballots. Now, I'm only going to talk about that part of the process as it pertains to all 50 states, right? Now, I'm not talking about a specific tabulation system, although I will tell you that we're going to talk a little bit about Dominion systems and other people's systems in the, on this deal. But you have the tabulation system, or excuse me, you have the vote that comes in. Now, in all 50 states, there's a way that you scan those envelopes for barcodes. Now, that can be done through a manual process, and that can be done through a manually.
Yeah, electronically. Electronically. Yeah, Nevada, right? Does it electronically, where yeah. they.
Colorado does it electronically in most areas. Yeah.
Yeah, where they tried Nevada and it was really bad, so they turned it down. So there's practically no real signature verification. Most states do it manually. People looking at it and then referring to a computer screen or another system to check the signatures. Go ahead, keep going.
So what's important is that you understand that there's an adjudication process that happens in two places during the election, right? You have an adjudication process that happens, if you could put your little mouse over the inspect signature part, right? And if you see this, you have the inspection can be done manually or through automation, right? Through a machine. That inspecting of the signature is the first place by which you can adjudicate whether or not that particular signature is good or not good. In some states, you're going to see what happens to the next step. In some states, there's, and I say some because not all go through this process, but they compare the signatures in different ways to the actual signature on the ballot. Now, if that ballot is rejected, go to the next one. It's over there to that side. They'll follow your arrow. And if you're listening in, it'll be a little bit more difficult, but I'm trying and break this down as clearly and concisely as possible. If it's rejected, it goes through a period that has the right to cure.
Depending on the state. Some states have right to cure, some states don't. And just to real quick backtrack, some states require that the signature be verified against the voter registration signature. Yes. Other states only required this time around that the signature be verified against the signature on the absentee ballot application form,
right?
Which is a big deal because if you've registered a vote and then, as we mentioned yesterday, someone steps in to fraudulently request a signature on your behalf, and then they fill out the ballot and sign it again, their signatures in some states and some jurisdictions don't necessarily get compared against your original signature. It just gets compared against their application signature. So really screwy the way the Democrats tried to force that through. But basically, there's some signature verification. It tends to be manual, and there's a lot of subjectivity to it.
Right. So I'm going to stop here for a second and tell you that in order to actually have a conspiracy to be committed against the people, to actually silence a voice, you actually have to have willing participants in this as well, right? So it has to be people involved in this process. And so everything that I'm telling you is going to be absolutely true. Now, the part that might not apply to all 50 states is going to be the right to cure and the cure, right?
True as a theory.
True as a theory. Okay.
It's a theory. It's your hypothesis.
It's my hypothesis of how they actually did it. But it's not how we wrote this out, how we drew this out is actually true to most states, except for some of these will only apply to some states, right? So the right to cure is not in every state, okay? So your right to cure, and if your state has that, it's cured, and then it goes back to the inspect the signature for, again, secondary adjudication, goes back, compares to the record, and then it is verified. So at that process, initially, it is either verified or it is rejected, right? Once it is verified, the voter is recorded. So there's a system that says, okay, this person has already voted, right? So if somebody comes in, walks in off the street, and they say, I want to vote, there's a process that also has to happen to say, okay, it shows that you've already voted. I know that you're here to vote, but it shows you've already voted, right? So there's a checks and balance system within this process that allows for them to say, you can't vote twice. Now you would say, well, how do you get people that vote twice? Now that is going to be a part of the small con and the big con. And in talking to people, I don't think there's any better way to describe it than to show a multidimensional con that's actually occurring, a sleight of hand, right? The ability to understand the diagram, the engineering that goes into the entire election system is absolutely necessary in order to find the fault points by which they can actually defraud the American voter, okay? So the voter is recorded, and in the verification process, it has to touch a system. Now, I did write underneath this to the far right that there's a voter registration system. And I know that this is like watching paint dry, guys, but this is super, super important. The voter registration system, also i.e. foreign system. In other words, I put them side by side. Because one of the things that happened in some of these swing states, if not all of them, is that they had an internet connection. And then we had someone from one of the tabulation systems, i.e. Dominion, that came in and said, listen, our systems are not connected to the internet, right? They said that.
The CEO said that.
Again, not conjecture. This is absolute fact, right? So as we walk through this process, you see that there's a voter registration system that has to validate that voter record. Now, here's where it gets interesting. It gets verified in Georgia. We'll just use that as an example. In Georgia, they have a 15-day period by which they can open, before the election, that they can open those envelopes, right, and inspect the ballots. Now, they cannot tabulate those ballots until election day. This is in Georgia. But they can open those ballots. They separate at that point the envelope from the ballot, right? So in separating the envelope, I'm talking about Georgia specifically, and I can talk about other states specifically, but I'm going to talk about Georgia specifically. As they separate that, they inspect the ballot, right? Now, insert area by which if you have bad actor, you can actually create a different ballot at that point. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here. Matter of fact, that's not even important to me right now, right? But I'm saying that there's a fault point in this that you have to rely on the goodwill or the ethical character of the person that's actually inspecting those ballots, right? That they're not a bad actor. Now, there are bad actors out there, and this is a little con. So there's lots of little cons that actually could happen. I'm not saying it happened everywhere. I'm saying it could happen. It's a hole in the system, which should not be there. Now, because you have 15 days, then you have the ballot that on the day of the election, no later in Georgia, we'll use Georgia as an example, at 7 a.m., it goes to the tabulation system. Now, what's interesting about this, and Max, it cut off the top. You can't see it, but over there to the far left is internet access, and you'll see the voter registration system or foreign system has the ability through that internet access to access it's the tabulation there. System. Everybody see it?
Yeah, okay. There's a line.
Kind of see it? Okay. So it has the ability through that internet access, which would now they've proven, not just one place, but in two places. One, Antrim County said that they were connected to the internet. And then they came back and said that is patently false. That's number one. Number two was down in Georgia while they were at a hearing in Georgia, state two, right? State first state was Michigan. Second state is Georgia. CEO comes in, lies. He doesn't just lie about that. He also lied about the system that was used on the back end that got hacked, right? That was used by Dominion, saying it wasn't used by Dominion, yet the source code showed it was. So he perjured himself twice, two times in that deal. Now, it's connected to the internet. Now, we know that to be a fact, not because I'm over here saying it's factual. I want it to be true. I want it to be true. We have multiple things that have happened over the last couple of weeks, one of which is we have Antrim County. We have what happened in Georgia. We have the communications, what happened in Arizona. We also have the affidavits in Wisconsin that say that, hey, they're connected to the internet, right? So all of those are important because we have the person that's responsible for being the CEO of that company, right? And you have a person who is the director of security and strategy that also denies these things, right? But let's just hypothetically say that, not hypothetically, but let's say that we've actually proven that piece, internet access, okay? So the tabulation system is connected to the internet, which is connected to a voter registration system, which is also getting the recorded votes. So that system has the ability to also mark off, right? And there's probably a piece in between it, and I'm trying to simplify this for the people listening, is it has the ability in the connection to the internet, right, to have not one-way communication, but two-way communication. It has the ability to receive and send information. Now, we know that to be a fact because yesterday, And Max, what was that guy's name?
Pulitzer?
Pulitzer, yeah. Super, super smart guy. I mean, the guy's brilliant, right? And by the way, when he was talking yesterday, he never said that what you said is not true. He says, I'm just going to assume everything that you're saying is true, but I want you to focus on the things that I'm telling you to focus on, which prove that at 11, whatever it was, 38, 28 at night, the American voice, the American way of life was lost. That's what he said, right? No longer do you have a voice. So we know it has two-way communication. So the tabulation system is connected for the ballot. And in some states, if you go back up, and I'm just going to go up for a second, it says inspection can be done manually or through automation. Josh, can you go ahead and put up a picture of one of the tabulation machines just for the envelopes? So this machine, Agilis, right? Which I'm not going to tell you what software is used on this system, but I just want you to know that this is a system that is used to sort the envelopes, right? Just the envelopes for signature verification. Okay, you can take it down. So there is a automation process that happens as well. Now, and I know this is like watching paint dry, but I told everyone I wanted to walk you through this process. What can be used for good can also be used for bad. That validation process has to happen in order to make sure that that's an actual voter. Now, from the tabulation system, I'm going to come back on this, but from the tabulation system, you have to go through whether or not it's a good count or an adjudication count. So this is adjudication number two. Adjudication number one, because again, remember they said that redundancy is the thing that actually stops fraud from occurring. And that, yeah, there's fraud, but we catch it. They said that. Okay.
And that adjudication number two is the part of the process that is known as adjudication. So when we've talked on the podcast before about how a ballot is misread or it's smudged or it's ripped and the machine can't read it and it goes to adjudication, that process on this flowchart is listed as adjudication two, just so everyone right. can refer back in your mind to other episodes on the podcast.
Now I want you to understand something. See, a ballot, when you walk in to do a ballot, they verify who you are on the voter rolls, right? Or in some states, you can register at the time to say, hey, listen, I live in this district. You have to certify some things.
Well, you have to sign an affidavit that says, I promise to live here. And there's been lots right. of allegations about states like New Hampshire, where people come across the border from Massachusetts and claim to be living somewhere so they can vote. There's lots of funny business and lots of allegations about how people abuse that process. But yeah, some states do have same day registration with very low requirements for proving your residency.
So the thing that I want to point out is that you compare the record for the inspected signature at adjudication one. Put your thing over that, please.
Yeah, I'm right there. So you inspect the signature, that's the first adjudication.
Yeah.
And then the second adjudication is the one that we know is the adjudication process.
So the envelope at that point is they're just inspecting the signature. As you come through and compare it and verify it, you're actually creating a record that person has actually voted. Now, over on the far right where it says voter registration system, imagine that 60% of the people vote. It's not typically that high, but we're going to say 60%. I need round math. That means 40% did not vote, right? When you verified that person, you recorded that person, you have a high degree, small con, right? Big con, right? So I just want you to understand this. So now you know the people that did vote, but you also know the people that didn't vote. So in order for this system to become effective in creating a fraud, you have to have the ability in places where voter registration is actually public, that could be, i.e. a foreign system. You could take 60%, we know they voted, we have 40% that are left. Now we already know that the voter registration logs in different states are dirty. It's not even disputable. You have people that have died that are still on voter registration logs, you have people that have moved out of state that are still on the voter registration logs, right? And we keep thinking that ballot harvesting, right, is the reason why this is happening. That people are out there just gathering up all these things, putting them in the system, right? That's not the case in this theory. And I'm going to tell you why it's not the case. In states like Michigan, there isn't a open access to voter registration system that exists. It's not open access. One thing we also know in Michigan is that they don't actually match up. They don't match. The ballots and the votes and the people that voted don't match the voters. They don't. There's no connection to them, right? It's not clean. But if you go to a state like Georgia, The voter registration is actually accessible. It's publicly available. So that information then can create all the people that are actually voters in that system, the 60% that voted and the 40% that didn't vote. Now, pay attention here, folks. This is the theory. Now, I'm going to tell you part of this theory. It's not fully baked. And I have to say that because, frankly, it's scary, the type of information that's been brought to me in folders and other things related to the big con. Ballot harvesting does happen. Everyone has agreed that it's happened. In most states, it's illegal. But what if I told you that, and do we have that video? Can we play this video? Play the video. Which of the three times. I'm going to take it. I'm trying to walk this slowly because I understand it, but now I need you to understand it. So the video of them putting the ballots that was played at the Georgia deal, at the Georgia hearing, of them putting the ballots through the machine once. While, by the way, this all happened when they had this big, what is it? The leak, right? The busted pipe. That turned out to be a faulty toilet where they sent people home. This is when this happened. So, Josh, can you play that video for
us? The queued YouTube video.
Yeah.
Mr. Producer.
For those that may not have taken the time to watch this video, I want to show you what occurred there that night that should shock the conscience of every Georgian. Bob, if you would. All right. So this... in the upper left-hand corner, you can see the time. That's 11:05 p.m. This is after everyone was told to go home because there was a major water main break. That was false. There was no water main break at all. There was a toilet leak about 16 or 18 hours earlier in the day, leaking from the ceiling from a suite above. It was cleaned up. It had no impact on this election. The water main break pronouncement was obviously made to clear the room of all poll watchers and the media. So they were told that night that the vote count would be suspended because the water main break and that they would resume the vote count the next morning. The next morning, everybody was stunned to learn that the people at State Farm Arena, there were five women that worked for about 2.5 hours from just before 11 p.m. until just before 1 a.m. of scanning ballots. And the disturbing thing about it is that there were five of these desks with women at each of the five desks. And we've labeled the first one here, kind of focused on her. She's wearing a purple top, desk one. This is at 4x speed, so we don't have to sit there and watch, you know, it in a slower speed, but you can see that this lady is taking the same stack of ballots, and once she runs them through the scanner, there she goes. She sticks them back in and runs them a second time and a third time, and then the lady to her right wearing the yellow top, we've got a second video that shows that she did the same thing with stack of ballots on her desk. And so there's ballot scan number three from desk number one. One man, one vote just went out the window at State Farm Arena on the night of November the 3rd, 2020. And it's here for all us to see.
Okay, go ahead, shut down.
We'll cut it there. Right. So the interesting thing about that is the easiest way for that to work would be if they were scanning blank ballots. If they were scanning blank ballots that had no barcode on them, which we saw from the Georgia hearing that some ballots mysteriously had a barcode, some did not. A ballot that had no barcode, if they were to scan it multiple times, we know that the system is designed, if there's a blank ballot, to push it for adjudication,
which is
to allow them to determine voter intent.
Which is right there on the side. You see where it says adjudication?
Right there. Which we know that when they have, well, it was like 93-94% adjudication rate was required in Fulton County. That is an absurdly high number. And that was what Pulitzer mentioned in his testimony yesterday. We look at Antrim County, they said it was in the 90% range as well. So if that's an absurdly high percent of ballots that have to be manually adjudicated. You're not supposed to require that. If someone fills in a circle, you're not supposed to have the majority, the vast majority of the ballots have to go for a second adjudication. At that point, what's the point in, of having the machines? There's no point in it.
Guys, I want to, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about something. What Max is saying is really important because you have to have intent determined. Now, the reason why this hearing in Georgia was interesting is because he timestamped it and he goes back further and says, this is when the bulk uploads for 100% or 99.9% Biden went through, right? But let me tell you that what they did is that they verified in Georgia that those ballots were actually tied to a registered voter. Right? In that process. Keep in mind, the envelopes are separated from the ballot. The ballot goes through the tabulation machine. In this case, and we use Georgia as an example, they put stacks of ballots through it. What Max said is if they don't have a barcode that goes automatically to the adjudication process and you can do bulk adjudication. The system is...
If they're blank.
Blank.
Not necessarily the barcode. If they're a blank ballot, this we know that the systems identify that as they didn't fill out their ballot at all. This is weird. Let's make sure that we're not missing a circle, right? If they filled it in using light gray colored pencil, right? That system is designed to push it for adjudication just so that they can say, oh, they didn't use a black ballpoint pen. They used a crayon.
Yeah. Or if those ballots, right, are, let's say, filled into the paper. In other words, if they just photocopied those and the circles were filled in by a computer and just as a stack of them that were just manufactured ballots. That would also go to a adjudication process as well. So there's multiple ways you can send it to the adjudication process from the tabulation system, right? What we know happened in Georgia is that they ran the same ballots through two and three times. They also know that it wasn't just happening at one table, it's happening at multiple tables, right? So as you run this through, we also know that people were removed at the time that these ballots went through. But what's interesting about Georgia is that you have to tie it back to a voter. And remember what I said before, that the election is over. The ballots are in. We know now who actually did vote. Because if you look at the verified process, they record the vote. So now the voter registration system and the internet access is really important. Now, something has to happen during this course, a reset. Another con has to occur, right? And in some states, and I'm going to use this as an example, in Colorado, there was an election that happened in Arapahoe County, Colorado, in 2018. They have been planning this for a long time. This is an engineered, very patient approach to taking away or stealing a nation, in theory, okay? But at 12 o'clock at night in Arapahoe County, Colorado, in 2018, that system that I just showed you went down. Now, what they said is the machine went down. The truth is, and the information I have related to how it was fixed, is that a wire was nicked, not just in one state, but in two states, or excuse me, in one county, but in two counties.
And there's the article from it.
Super interesting about this is that this ballot sorting machine in Arapahoe County broke, impacting 20,000 ballots. The close races could be impacted. See, the problem with stealing an election, and again, I'm going to say that this is a theory, problem with stealing an election is that they've made us believe that we are a divided nation 50-50, right? That 50% are left-leaning, really left-leaning, and 50% are conservative. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. So they've made these elections really close. We have an abnormal number of elections across the last 10 years that have been decided by 100 votes, 200 votes, 500 votes. Again, little con, big con. All right, let's go back to the diagram again. So as the diagram goes out and you put in all these bulk ballots, let's hypothetically say that it's 100 ballots. Now we already know that that stack is probably 1,000 ballots, but I can't tell you how much that stack is. But they put it through three times, right? And they continue to do this, right? So let's hypothetically say we're just talking about 100 ballots. That 100 ballots through the adjudication process has to be tied back to a voter that's recorded. Now, if we know that we have a two-way communication and internet access, it can go back out to that foreign system. And remember, there has been credible data to show that these systems were actually communicating with foreign systems. Now, I call it foreign because some of it occurred going to Germany, some of it occurred going to different states, some of it occurred going to different countries, right? So that is credible evidence that occurred in these environments. That internet access then can go back to the tabulation machine. And now we're talking about firmware, we're talking about code, right? And it can actually then take that name that it picked up from the voter registration from a foreign system. Because remember, they've proven also that it's two-way communication. It can go into that system, in the tabulation system, and say, this one is James Smith. Now, it's a randomized model to go grab that voter, right? And it grabs that voter and it attaches it to that particular vote. So if I have 100 of them, I just have to go out and find 100 voter registration that did not vote, right? And this is where it gets really interesting, because we already know the voter rolls are bad. We already know it's bad. And you'd say, well, there's 2,000 dead people that voted in that election. I don't know how many it was. I think it was 2,200 or something like that in Georgia that actually voted in the election, 2,200-ish. And again, for fact checkers' point of view, I'm just telling you that it's a lot, right? Now, a part of you would say that that's ballot harvesting, that they walk door to door and they grab dead people's ballots. I don't think that that's the case. I think what happened, and again, I have lots more information that I need to fully bake. But let me just go through the mathematical probability of this. Is that as it goes out there and gets random votes, and this is where we know that the actual vote count and the steal was way bigger than you can imagine, is as it starts picking up these randomizations for the voter registration system, it's picking up dead voters. Now keep in mind, the envelopes in Georgia, many of which were destroyed. They destroyed those envelopes, right? Right after the election, they destroyed ballots. Again, this is not stuff I'm making up. If you destroy the ballots that she puts through that system three times, and those are fake ballots, right? And those were found not to be tied back to or tied back superficially to a voter registration system outside that then comes back in and says, this is the legal ballot voter that actually voted with absentee. You would have duplicate ballots as well. Let me tell you why. Somebody comes in and votes as Joe Altman, and his real name is Joseph Altman. The system is not designed except for a one-to-one match. So of the people that have actually been, that have actually said, hey, no, I walked in and voted in person. Or other people that said, hey, listen, I didn't do an absentee ballot. I still have my absentee ballot. How do you have an absentee ballot? Right? That has happened as well. But this system allows for them inside of the voter registration system to not have a perfect system. But by having that internet access, I can take bad actors, the big con, and now all I have to do is build an army of bad people, and it doesn't need to be a lot of bad people. In six states, seven states, it literally could be a couple hundred people. That's it. That's all you need. And one person that understands or has close connections to someone else that can actually help with the con. Little con, big con. Does ballot harvesting happen? It does happen. Absolutely, it happens. 100%. But the sophistication of the system is not just in the code. Antrim County. Now, again, that's disputed by elected and bureaucrats. They right? Not cybersecurity experts. Because we already know that CISA came out and said that this group of 59 people came out and said, this is the safest election in the history of the U.S. They said that. Right. But those 59 people, none of which are cybersecurity experts. Sorry, Max, go ahead.
So you mentioned the need to match it up. That isn't even always the case in Detroit. I mean, this kind of brings a different light to the story we've talked about in Detroit, where 72% of the absentee precincts had inaccurate counts and were not recountable and could not survive an audit. And what that typically means is that there are more votes than voters or vice versa. So if you do this poorly, if you assign made up votes to people that exist but didn't vote, or you just get it wrong, you can end up with more votes than voters or more voters than votes. So this kind of forces you to look at what's going on in Detroit historically, because this has happened for decades. And yeah. The idea of how is it that for decades you can get it so wrong, it really starts to make you think that it's being deliberately done. That I mean, any other position, any other company, any other employee, if you got something wrong this significantly and you did it again, you wouldn't still have your job, right? So yes, they have to be matched, but we can also look to things like this to hypothesize that perhaps the thing that we've said is just bad accounting, bad handling of the voter rolls could also be a sign of them doing it very poorly. Just want to throw that out there. I'll put back
but,
up your
but diagram. But the other side is, Max, if we go back to that, is that Detroit, Michigan does not have a public record of voter registrations. They do not. Now go back to the diagram, please. In this diagram, you will see that if they have access to the people that did vote, they also have access to people that didn't vote, making adjudicating fake ballots while you sent everybody home very easy to do. Now listen, this becomes really interesting because you would say that it's a conspiracy, Joe, and this is a right-wing conspiracy. There's nothing right-wing about this. We've been talking about voter fraud for a decade. We've been talking about what we're actually experiencing right now for over a decade. So if what I'm saying is not accurate, if this is not accurate, then tell me why it's connected to the internet. Now there's another one. See, little con, big con, right? Little cons are the thing that distracts us. So we're distracted by ballot harvesting. Does it happen? Yes. Did it happen in the Somali community? Project Veritas actually very clearly uncovered that. Did anyone get arrested for that? The answer is no. Big con, little con. Let's concentrate on the little con so we cannot actually recognize what's actually happening. Now, the reason why I'm putting this out there as a theory is because there are people across this country that are much smarter than I am, even in code. That doesn't take much, but I'm actually pretty good with code, but that understand this and cybersecurity. And we have a very secure system within our companies, right? This is the easiest way by which you can actually create the big con, because it looks on its face like it's real. It looks like on its face, like this voter actually voted, but that voter's been dead for 9 months, 2 years, 3 years. So the voter registration system takes any number of voters that they have. And because those rolls are dirty, right? And then you'd say, okay, Joe, why is that important? Stacey Abrams, you know, the person on the left that says, you know, the right is just trying to suppress people's vote. No, we're not. See, one vote, one man, one woman over the age of 18 who is here legally. But then they made this attempt to actually go and purge the voter rolls, right? Now, again, how does that disrupt this? How does not letting that happen help them? Because that's Stacey Abrams' sister who voted to not allow bad voters to be removed. Why is that important in a system that is connected to the internet? Why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you actually purge those voter rolls and the voter registration system, the foreign system, which they're not touching right now, right? I wouldn't touch it if I was them. If you purge that and you go back and do a correlation of those people that were purged, because the system itself is built to have a up-down, right, and grad randomization, some of those people would probably, inside the absentee ballot system, show up as voted. But if you remove them and they voted and the system picked them up and put them down as a person that voted, then you would know that the big con has been exposed fully. Big con, little con. They've been planning this for over a decade.
We do have a development out of Georgia. Stacey Abrams' sister did actually just backtrack a little bit. So this is from Politico. Late yesterday, she backtracked, and now she's going to allow them to continue to scrutinize these. They're going to cast provisional ballots, the ones that they want to purge. If they end up voting, it'll be a provisional ballot that will then get put through heavier scrutiny to make sure that it's legitimate or not. So in this one case, just want to make sure that we let everyone know that the judge, Leslie Abrams Gardner, did backtrack a little bit. She's still going to let them vote, but instead she's just going to have them do provisional ballots. Okay, keep going.
Put that back up, please. All right, not that one. The other
this
one.
Or okay.
Yeah. So big con, little con. Again, sleight of hand. How do I take what I'm telling you right now and how do I then validate those things? Well, I just start filling in the holes. I start filling in the holes with big books that get sent to me from previous politicians, from people that are inside of the intelligence community. I validate that information. And so when we talk about some of the things we're talking about here, it gets really scary because now we actually know, and they said provisional ballots. The provisional ballot system is just as, and I can actually push that system out through this. And maybe on part two of this, where we start actually exposing some of these things mathematically back to it, up, down, right, of data, we'll be able to show you how that tabulation system, good count. And Max, if we can move, make it smaller so that what's behind your head, I can show that as well. Okay. So adjudication process goes back out to the internet, and it's a two-way deal. I didn't get the other one that comes back down to it. And then it sends it back over to the tabulation system. It assigns that voter to that particular vote, right? Which again is anonymous. You just have to say that they actually voted. You don't have to attach it to that particular vote. Just it voted, right? That system is supposed to be anonymous and nobody knows who you voted for. Goes to the tabulation system, goes to a good count, right? Now, the adjudication process is intent determined, goes back over to good count. So when it gets into the tabulation system, that ballot could be just automatically good count that they've already voted. We know that's a good count. The ballot's good, right? It just goes straight down to the good count. When it goes to the adjudication, intent is determined, right? So that's where they actually say he meant to vote for Biden. Meant to vote for Biden, 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 Biden. Okay? Remember, and this happened hundreds of thousands of times. Push it back over to good count. Okay, this is where it gets interesting. We just, big con. The big con is that they actually know who the voters are. Two-way communication. Two-way sharing of information. Two-way. That means they're sending information up and they're sending information back down. Why does a tabulation system need to have two-way communication? Why does a voting system need to have two-way communication? Why does the signature, and I haven't even talked about this part, the signature inspection, why does it actually connect to the voter registration system if it's automated to make sure that it actually says, okay, the voter's recorded, right? Now listen, intent, good count, tabulation transfer. In Detroit, we had a big problem in Detroit, didn't we? We had a big problem. And there's that little thing just off to the tabulation transfer, which, what is that, Max? The USB device.
Yeah, USB.
Yeah. Sleight of hand. Little con. See, you have to have willing participants. And we know that those willing participants have to give people enough time to change things in the system. So we talk about Stacey Abrams. Not a conspiracy. Not a conspiracy when we're talking about Stacey Abrams' sister, who's a judge, which should have disqualified her from even hearing it, right? When her sister is actively involved in creating small cons. She's a distraction. Well, we had a problem in the tabulation transfer system in Detroit, where for a period of time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes,
that was Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I apologize. Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, where it disappeared for 15, 20 minutes. And the police said, we should call this in. And they said, no, don't do that. And then they found it. They found that USB drive.
But still plugged into a machine.
But the chain of cut, still plugged into a machine.
Yeah.
But you have a picture of her taking it out of the machine. You have a video of it. But now it's plugged back into a machine. Big con, little con. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to prove one gun, the smoking gun. We don't have to prove one because there's multiples. There are multiple smoking guns, but the multiple smoking guns have to be tied back to intent and the integrity of an election that they said was not compromised. Remember, Chris Krebs, a lawyer, not a coder, but a lawyer, said, I dispute what Antrim County came up with on the findings of the machine, yet we cannot get access to any other machines. They blocked that access. Now I'm going to tell you what just happened. I might have gotten access, someone within this group might have gotten access to the voting machines in a county in Colorado. Might have. Might have. And we might have inspected those machines to show that they're connected to the internet, that they're live and on the internet and in the same shape and condition they would have been when the voting tabulations would have been done. In Colorado, we might have that. We might have firsthand knowledge and pictures we shouldn't have, which show that. We also know that the CEO of this company, which has deep ties to people like, has ties. The organization has ties to people like George Soros and others. We know that that's a fact. So we're sitting here having a conversation about the little con and the big con. There has to be two, three little cons happening at the same time the big con's happening. There has to be ballot harvesting. There has to be people that are creating tabulation errors at the transfer part of this intent. There has to be people that are inspecting signatures and adjudicating things to actually make them verified within the process. Those things have to be happening. Little cons have to be happening in order to show that it's not widespread fraud. While the big con is happening where the ball's being moved between things. In theory. In theory. And notice how I have to say in theory. But we know too much, Max. We know too much. And as we walk through this process, we look at it and go, listen, I had to think like them. I did. It was really difficult. I had to think like the evil people that would actually try to subvert the American people's voice. I had to think that way. I had to sign an affidavit for the information that I had. And truth is the great equalizer. Now, as you get through this process, I've been very consistent. And even Max is trying to protect me from not saying anything. So we came out and said that this is a theory. But I've been able to fill in some of the gaps. I just can't tell you that I filled in those gaps because it's a theory. But as I talk about little cons and big cons, don't we know the ballot harvesting is happening? Don't we know that's happening? That's a fact. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Do we know that people are not voting without an ID, Max, and then voting for someone else's behalf? We know that that's happening. We don't know how wide it is. They talk about it that it's not widespread, quote unquote widespread. But go from there's no fraud to there's no widespread fraud.
And then they say there's not enough fraud to affect the results.
Right.
The three different levels.
So I ask you right now while we're on this deal, and I think we have a couple more things as you start walking through this process where you can start to put things together and go, oh my gosh, this has been going on for decades, ladies and gentlemen, decades. And when we talk about the political leanings, right, of an entire organization that actually has a monopoly across our nation of voting systems that is supported by private equity funds, it becomes very, very apparent that there could be in theory, collusion across our country with people that took decades to get there. I mean, Stacey Abrams' sister had to become a judge. It just so happened that she's working on this and that she's a judge that can hear some of these cases. And it wasn't until someone went in and actually started digging into Stacey Abrams and her sister that they actually uncovered the fact that she's covering up, theoretically, for her sister and for the fraud that happens at the Democrat level. See, we are talking about a evil that wants to silence your voice. And Max, as it gets scary because we're talking about things which do not have safe and secure environments. There's no integrity in this. We know how dirty an internet access can be for any system. We know how much of a risk it can create. In Colorado, there was a man that actually testified in Colorado, which led to a vote in Colorado. I was there. I was supposed to testify. I didn't get an opportunity to testify. They removed me because they said I had COVID, which I did not. Right? But he testified that he has run red teams, that he is a cybersecurity expert. And he talked about all the documentation related to what happened to Colorado Secretary of State office in covering up even their ability to bring in those election systems into Colorado. And then an ex-Secretary of State Wayne Williams testified for 2 hours, flamboyantly stating that the public, if I had to tell the public anything, it's just trust us. We know what we're doing. Well, do you trust them? I mean, if you look at this system, and by the way, I have a much more detailed diagram that can actually show you foreign systems and taking into account different systems that are talking to different areas and so on and so forth, that there's a big con, small con going on within our country, within our election system. And then I can show you how that big con, small con mentality has also affected our education system. It's also affected our universities. It's affected our churches, right? It's made ineffectual leadership inside of those organizations that are allowing the status quo to leak into our society and let them indoctrinate our kids with really bad things. And then how it's affected our small businesses and the fact that they've made us run towards fear and wear a mask and taking individual ideas of indoctrination on what scientific proof is. So as you look at this, Max, it's very difficult not to look at it and say to yourself, this is really big. This big con, little con is massive. And I've had to take this information, put it in actual books, pass it off to other people, make sure that I secure it. Because I'm under no illusions that the people that actually have developed the big con, little con, don't want this information out there.
Yeah, it's certainly bigger than this. It's certainly bigger than one episode, which is why we're actually going to break this up into two episodes. We're going to have a part one today, a part two either tomorrow or Monday. We'll see how fast it comes together, doing a much deeper dive into all of this, showing much more evidence. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that we've talked about on the podcast before. The deadline is January 6th, which again, I didn't mention this at the start. Link in the description, join our Fax Blast today. There's now 140 Republicans in Congress, 140 plus, planning on objecting to the Electoral College results. We will have 211 Republicans there on the day of the vote. That's six away from a majority. So you need to just get every Republican and then six Democrats. So it is possible. We are making a lot of progress. So join the Fax Blast today and put pressure on Congress not to certify. What's always been so annoying about all of this is they have years, decades to plan all of this out and perfect it. And we have a set amount of time to prove it, right? We only have a number of days to uncover the fraud, prove the fraud, and convince a judge or elected official or legislature to agree with the fraud. So it's always been an uphill battle, but we're hopeful that with the vote on January 6th, that we can definitely air some of this evidence in public and hopefully reach the point where we can stop some of these states from being certified. Well, I think, Joe, we should end it and then come back with a second podcast, doing a deeper dive. And that'll either be tomorrow, as I said, or Monday.
But I would like to know your last thoughts, Max. I mean, and I will say something at the end, but I want to know your last thoughts. I mean, we had a very passionate conversation about walking through this, and I think it's important for everyone to understand that we don't always agree with. I mean, we didn't agree with the George Floyd deal. We didn't agree with the police accountability. There's things we don't agree about. But I do want to hear your thoughts. I think people should hear that there are, you know, that you have some trepidation on making sure that we actually come out as a theory so that people understand that although we have parts of it, of the picture colored and the connect the dots, we've done part of it. You know, the picture's not fully clear, but we do know that there's a big con and a small con. So your thoughts.
The biggest struggle I have is that we know so many things happened and it's trying to identify which one, you call it the big con, the little con, which ones were used in which states, because not every state followed the same model, right? As we mentioned in the beginning, in Nevada, they used automatic artificial intelligence to read signatures. And when the system was basically putting out too many false negatives, they toned it down to 40%, and then everything just went through, right? So they did that in Nevada. We know that the signatures were manually improperly handled in Georgia. You look at the things going on in Michigan, which we don't really know why the count in Wayne County is so far off, because you're not allowed to get into it. Once it's proven to be not recountable, you can't open those boxes. which is what one of the big issues in Michigan is. So we know that there's lots of things going on. It's just the hardest part is identifying this is what they did here, this is what they did here, and throwing out other things, because we know that there's a lot of moving pieces to this. The challenge has always been and will always be identifying which are the specific strategies that they use to pull it off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the shell game that they play. You catch them doing one thing and say, oh, well, that's not enough. Sure, fine, you found 1,000 ballots. So what? He won by 20,000 ballots. Good luck finding the rest. So it's always been an uphill battle. And the standard that we're being forced to meet is ridiculous, because as I said, they have years to perfect this and we only have 2 months to uncover it all. So that's just the trepidation I've always had. It's trying to say with certainty, this is what happened and everything else didn't happen, but this is how it worked. That's what I'm always really hesitant to, because when you focus away from one thing, for all we know, it could have been mass ballot harvesting, right? Maybe it wasn't electronic, maybe it was ballot harvesting and they did it that way. I don't like taking my eyes off of one ball, because if you keep broad vision, you can make sure you see everything.
And I think that's the big con, little con, right? Is that we seem to focus in, we bring ourselves in to one thing, and we don't think like them. We don't think like people who would criminally take away the vote of the American people. We don't think like them.
Yeah.
So
we don't.
So listen, my problem is, and again, I always believe in having aces. I always believe in having aces. And I have a lawsuit now that we're defending. And I want to say that the truth is the great equalizer. The truth is the one thing that sets apart everything. So as we walk through this theory, I look forward to the opportunity in this lawsuit, because frankly, they've defamed one of our companies, Max, and this one, right? And said it's connected to something it's not. And they said, never stand in the way of your enemy while they're making a mistake. That caused harm to our company. And it wasn't hard.
And as we mentioned, he also defamed you when he's claiming that you're this ringleader mastermind of everyone who thinks he's shady. And then in his op-ed, he says anyone who's presented any social media posts about me have been fabricated.
Yeah.
So
well, and there's more to it. I'm in hiding, but he takes a video, and we've downloaded all the videos, timestamped everything, and it's pathological. But that's what happened with sociopaths, is that they hang on to one thing. And I'm not saying he is or isn't a sociopath, but I think he is, and I have the ability to say that's my opinion. It's my First Amendment right. And again, we lose all of those things if we allow a steal of the American voice to happen. So,
yeah. Well, we're going to wrap it here, and we're going to come back with a second edition. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. I don't know if it might be Monday. We'll see how quickly we're able to get everything.
We'll have
together,
one tomorrow, though. I'll come out tomorrow.
But in the meantime, everyone, we'll still have something tomorrow. So make sure that you subscribe on Facebook and YouTube. I'll put the button again on Facebook if you haven't already. You can click that button right now, and you can real quick follow us on YouTube. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, then hit the bell for notifications. We're also on all the different audio platforms. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podbean. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to us over there. It really helps us as we try and prove the numbers, get sponsorships, and grow the show.
Max, we have three people that are negative about this. So Eric brought a couple friends.
Yeah. or he's using his laptop, his phone, and his kids device. I don't know.
Probably.
If you text the word freedom to 89517, you'll receive text alerts. People getting a little snippy. Apparently Josh with his fat fingers pushed it multiple times, so people got multiple sends. So I apologize for that. We'll rein Josh in. People complain that they got two and three texts at once.
But there's nobody in the office, and Josh was here an hour before me.
He's doing it all alone.
He's doing it all alone.
So if you text freedom to 89517, we guarantee you'll get a text. We just don't know yet how many you'll get. Also, there's a link to join our email newsletter. Very important. We're on Parler at Conservative Daily. We're also on Rumble. Check us out there. Podcast gets added after we go live. Usually takes a while. They have a very slow upload speed. So make sure you check us out there. And again, there's a link in the description to donate as we defend these lawsuits. Make sure you check that out as well. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire.
And I'm Joe Altman.
And remember that the fight to take back our country clearly isn't over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.